Well, good morning again. Again, I'm so excited to be here in this new year, to be back. I just want to thank Mitchell for sharing last week. I got to listen to him and watch him begin to teach us and how to be true worshipers. And what a great beginning to a new year to, you know, for us to begin to step into this new year seeking to be true worshipers of God. So, Mitchell, thank you for that. I also got to listen to my son preach on Sunday up in Birmingham. And so it's just exciting to sit there and to listen to your son share God's word and speak God's word into the people there at his church. And then I kind of watched 65,000 18 to 25-year-olds worship God at Passion in Atlanta. And let me just tell you, I'm excited about 2020 in this new year. I'm excited about this new decade. I have no fear of what God is doing. He's doing a great work in this generation, this young generation that's coming up. We are in good hands. It's so exciting to see their passion, their excitement about not just the worship and song, but just so excited about the Word of God. And how they are so much students of God's Word and just inspires me and encourages me and challenges me to want to be even more passionate about my pursuit of God and my pursuit of His Word and what it's speaking into my life as we step into this new year. And so I'm excited about that, and I think we are headed to some unbelievable things that God is doing in this new year, this new decade. And so I'm starting a new series this morning that I'm calling 2020. And it's just about getting a clearer vision of God's call on your life as we step into this new year, just a better understanding of His presence in your life, of His transforming work in your life, and being ready and open for that. And this morning, the message is just simply titled Renew. And we're going to be talking about renewing our minds because it begins there, I think. As we have a desire to want to have a better understanding of God and His call on our lives and His pursuit of our lives, it begins right here in the renewing of our minds. And so let's pray before we get started this morning. Father, I thank you for your presence here. I thank you, God, for your word. And I just ask you, God, to speak through your word today into our lives, to change us, God, to begin your transforming work in us, the renewing of our mind, God. Begin that work in us as we step into this new year, this new decade, God. Thank you, God, for your presence here with us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, you know, January is kind of a time when we quiet our calendar a little bit here at The Rock. The most important thing I think we do in the month of January is the 21 days of prayer. Mitchell mentioned that last week, where it's where we come together for 21 days and just pray and fast because we understand, you know, that through prayer we get closer to God, and through fasting we can push some things of the world away, and by doing that we get closer to God, and He can begin to change us, and that's what is in store for us this January. We started this, 15 years ago, and it's really kind of the foundation of our church as we begin and as we step into a new year. So prevalent, prayer is so prevalent in our church. We are, and I encourage us to be a people of prayer, and I promise you, if you will endeavor to do that in 2020, to be a person of prayer, to really lean in your time along with God, I promise you, God will show up and begin to renew your vision in 2020 or to 2020, right? And I get it, fasting is always, it's mysterious, it's somewhat unknown, but it is biblical. Jesus fasted, Paul fasted, the early church fasted. So we're going to take this time this year to get close to God and to push some things of the world away, whatever that is for you, whatever that needs to be in your life, whether it be food or social media or CNN or Fox News or, whatever you need to push away. And we're going to start tomorrow morning, right here in this space, Monday through Friday, from 6:30 to 7:30, and just want to encourage you and invite you to come and be with us here and just begin this new year on our knees in prayer. We'll go through January 6th through the 26th, Monday through Friday here, Saturday at your place of prayer at your home, and then Sunday gathering back here praying together. And the goal is to allow God to begin to transform us. To transform us by the renewing of your mind. That is the goal. And so in this morning's message, I'm just going to look at two familiar passages, two of my favorite passages in all the Bible, Romans 12, Philippians 4. And so if you have your Bibles, you can begin to turn there, starting in Romans 12, there in the New Testament. And I just want to give us some habits to begin this year with. Here's what I discovered on my trip to Birmingham. I got to play golf with my oldest son, Hunter, and if you play golf, you understand this, that golf is mental. I mean, it is mental, right? I'm not even good at it, and it still messes with my mind, right? You get above on the tee, above that little ball, and it gets between your ears. Some people say that the difference between the best and the rest is between the ears, right? And I agree with that. It is. Just on little par threes, you know, it's like, come on, it's just like 90 yards. Come on. Just here, you know, my mind's going, you can't hit that, right? One of the great golfers, Johnny Miller, retired, and somebody asked him why he retired when he did, and he did, and he said he retired when he found himself thinking more about the out of bounds, thinking more about the hazards or, you know, the rough than he was about the target, than he was about the hole. I think in some areas, you know, that is a picture of many of us as believers. I think we love Jesus and we know that we're going to heaven, but we are way too focused on the out of bounds, on the hazards of life. And we got to change that in 2020. You know, golf is mental, but life is also mental. So here's my question as we step into this new year. Have you ever thought about what you think about? That's kind of funny. And have you ever thought about what you think about? And I'm asking you to think about it. Have you ever thought about what you think about? Psychologists call this self-talk. It's what all of us have going on in our brain that we think no one is privy to it, right? But usually what is in our mind begins to work itself out in our lives. You know, really it's the way we view life, the way we process information, the way we think, the conversation that's going on in our minds. I mean, you're doing it right now. You're doing it right now. Some of you are talking about in your mind, you know, where am I going to go eat after this service is over? Or, you know, preach it, money. I'm fired up about 2020. Come on. And, you know, some of you are saying that, I hope. And, right, you're saying it. Come on, man. I'm in it. Somebody help me. Somebody help me, right? Some of you are saying, wow, money, you've lost more. You lose more and more hair every year. And I know you're saying this, you know, especially these guys up there that can see down on me, right? We have these conversations going on in our minds, and you have to admit that. And unfortunately, a lot of times there are negative dialogues going on in most of our minds, and if we're honest about it. And again, we need to change that. I think sometimes our minds are like freeways, and we let anybody or everybody drive on it, right? Garbage in and garbage out. Social media and movies and other people, we consume sometimes a lot of negativity. And I think that's why 21 days of prayer is so important, because we can pull away from some of that negative stuff just for a season. Just for a season. The brain, the mind, is one of God's greatest creations. We now know that the brain has the power to change. We didn't know this a few decades ago, but now we know it. It's called neuroplasticity, the study of plasticity of the brain and the way it can change. And here's what we know now. Every time you think a thought, there's a pathway that is created in your brain. It's called a neuropathway. Science has proven that. And every time you think a thought, again, that pathway is strengthened and made a little bit stronger and just a little bit stronger. Right? Here's what they've learned, that the more you think about that thought, the easier it is to think about it again. And scientists have proven the more you think a thought, the harder it is to think a different thought. And so we've got to renew our minds. If we're going to have a successful 2020, we've got to renew our minds. I love it. I love it when science finally figures out what God knew all along. Don't you just love that? I mean, thousands of years ago, you know, in Proverbs 23:7, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." So he is. As we think, so we are, right? Science finally figured that out. Congratulations, right? God already knew that. God already knew it. So here's the deal. We are the sum of our thoughts. Right? What's in our minds is what's going to come out in our lives. And that's why that conversation we're having with ourselves that we think is private is not so private. What we think about a lot of times determines how we live. Your life will always move in a pattern toward your strongest thoughts. Your strongest thoughts. So here's what I know. Right living has to be preceded by right thinking. It's almost impossible to have a positive life thinking negative thoughts. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think you will, you probably will, right? If you feel like a victim or think you are a victim and buy into that lie, you will be a victim. That's why Paul says in Romans 12, we've got to renew the mind, to create some new pathways. If this was grass up here, and you know, if I would walk back and forth across, you know, this stage here, it's as grass, I would wear out a new pathway, right? Eventually, I would wear out a new pathway, and it becomes easier and easier and easier pathway to walk on than one that would be out here where the grass would still be really high, right? But if I change directions, if I start going down a healthier pathway, after a while, that becomes easier, and the old one grows back up. And that's really what is in front of us in 2020. The brain has 100 trillion thoughts that can be stored in our minds. That's what, you know, they estimate. And here's the deal. We have the power to choose every one of them. God's given us that power. And so Paul says, we will be transformed. We have a choice to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's the truth. And the secret is found in verse 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Look at it with me this morning, Romans 12, verse 1. It's a great couple of verses to memorize or passage to memorize. Very familiar. Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We've said before that, you know, when you see therefore in the Bible, you know, you learn this in seminary, you know, you need to begin to, whenever you see therefore, you need to figure out what therefore is therefore, right? Therefore indicates that something has gone on before. And what's gone on before is this beautiful discussion of God's grace. It's the most beautiful expression of God's grace, really, in the entire Bible. From chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 11 of Romans is this marvelous, detailed explanation of how God's grace is available to everyone. How you don't earn it, how we never deserve it, but it's available anyway. And it's available to the Jew, the Gentile, to the sinner, to you and to me. And so here's what I encourage you to do as you begin this new year. You know, to grab an iced tea or a cup of coffee and sit down this week and read the first 11 chapters of Romans. It's one of the clearest explanations of all that God has done for us anywhere in the Bible. I started to kind of walk through it with you, but just for the sake of time, I'm going to encourage you to go and read that, because it finally gets to chapter 12 and it says, therefore, because of this marvelous grace, I urge you, I beg you, Paul says. You just kind of notice there, this letter's not a casual letter. You know, it's not, hey, how's it going there? You know, it's raining here. Hope you're doing well there. I mean, this is an urgent letter. Paul says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So two things are going on here, two directives that Paul is about to give us here, two commandments that he's going to give us, and then he's going to give us a result of living that out in our life with him. The first one is this, The first commandment is to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, to give God your body. And I think Paul was very specific in writing that. He could have wrote, offer your life to God. And I think that would have been very easy for us to say, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to offer my life. I'm just going to offer my life to God. And we could have just kind of rushed right past that. But Paul intentionally said to offer your bodies, every part of you, because he understood that's the commitment, that's the sacrifice that God is calling us to offer every part of our bodies to him in commitment, in surrender to him. And I've shared this with you before. I grew up in church, and we used to sing this song that would help us to understand this, right? And we would sing, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do, because the Father above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And we would go through each body part and sing that song. And as I grew up, I began to have this view of God, that God was like this policeman standing over me, waiting for me to make a mistake, or a mean dad, waiting to punish me when I would mess up. And so I would sing the right words, but in my mind, I would sing, oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do, because your Father above will squish you like a bug. Oh, be careful, little hands. And that's how I viewed my God. And it began to mess up my relationship with him because I viewed him in that way. And Paul says, no. It's a God that, he is a God that is looking down in love and wants to guide you and lead you. He wants your body. And the reason he does is because he wants a relationship with you. He is the one that created you. He has the owner's manual. He knows what will bring you joy. He knows what will bring you fulfillment. But we'll never experience the will of God, the purpose of God in this new year until we're willing to trust him enough to say, okay, here it is. Here's my body. Here's every part of me. You want to change your life tomorrow? You want to see a dramatic change tomorrow in your life? Just tomorrow, all day long, go through the day singing that song. And just pick a body part. I mean, pick your lips, your mouth, right, your hands, and say, okay, be careful, little hands. Don't sing it out loud, because people will think you're weird. But just sing it to yourself, and beware of the fact that those hands don't belong to you, that they're a gift. And the one who knows the best use for them is saying, come to me, give me your body, give me your hands, so that they can be used in those things that will end in life. God wants your body. And then he says this beautiful thing. He says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Now, I love the Bible, right? Because don't ever tell me the Bible is boring. You ever thought about that? What in the world is a living sacrifice? Those two words don't go together. It'd be like pretty ugly, right? You're pretty ugly. No, he's saying, I want you to be a living sacrifice. No sheep came back from a sacrifice. A sheep didn't kind of waddle back and say, oh, it was kind of tough up on the altar. Got a little burnt, but I'm okay, I'm cool. No, right? God doesn't want some dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. And so what in the world does that mean? Here's what it means. It's about a relationship. You take Jesus out of the equation, and you've got a flat-out destructive legalism. Again, I grew up believing that Christianity was a list of rules. Don't do this. Don't smoke. Don't drink. Don't chew. Don't dance. Don't go to the theater. Don't play cards. I kind of grew up in that. Also, when I became a believer, I grew up in, you need to do this. 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 You need to do this in order to grow in your relationship with God. And I'm not negating any of those things, right? Endorsing or negating any of those things. All I'm telling you is that Christianity is so much more than that. It is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. You take Jesus out, and this world becomes a dark, dangerous place where there is very little love, very little compassion, and almost no grace. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship with your God. He wants your body as a living sacrifice. It's a beautiful, dynamic relationship. And the problem with a living sacrifice, it always has the option of crawling off the altar, right? And that's why the relationship is so important. I don't try to be good enough so that God will love me. I don't offer my body as a sacrifice so that God will somehow accept me. I offer my body because of what He did for me when I didn't even deserve it. Paul says, give me your body. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. And then he says, in the second directive, the second commandment, he says, give God your will. He says it this way. Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't be squeezed into its shape, into its mold. Don't try to look just like the world. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where I want to focus this morning. I am so passionate about this because my mind is a lot of times, my enemy, right? Growing up and even today, I sometimes find I have faulty thoughts. As Kim says, I have stinking thinking. And I think a lot of us struggle because of these things that were done to us or said about us or things that we've done. And we haven't put God's truth in us enough so that we can start creating new pathways in our minds. And if we don't do that, it will plague you until you get set free of that stuff. We need to find freedom through the renewing of our mind. So as we enter 2020, we don't need more resolutions. We need renewing in our minds. And if we think differently in 2020, we will live differently in 2020. If we really want it to work, we don't need resolutions. We need these habits I'm going to give you, these kind of steps that I'm going to give us this morning that come from God's Word. And I double dog dare you to try to grab hold of God's Word and decide to go all in and be committed to Him fully and completely, because God is attracted to those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. 2 Chronicles 16:9 tells us that, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. This says, God, I'm giving it all to You. My body, my mind, God, my will, I'm giving it all to You. I'm dedicating it all to You this new year. I'm going to push some things away and chase after You. You do that, I promise you, God will show up. So we must choose some different thinking, some different pathways, some new habits. And Paul gives us four, as we were going through the Joy Explosion series and we got to Philippians 4, as I kind of was going through that and studying that, I was going, wow, that's what we need. That's what I need. If I could put some of that stuff into practice, that God will begin to transform me by the renewing of my mind. That will begin to really happen. And if as that happens, then I will be able to know His will. I'll have a clearer vision, a clearer focus on what His call, His purpose, His will is for my life. And so just look at Philippians 4 with me real quickly. Philippians 4, Paul says this. Again, very familiar passage. He says, rejoice. I'll give you some time to get over there. Yeah, turn those pages. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The first thing that we need to do in this new year, in 2020, is we need to set the tone. We need to set the tone. If God is going to renew our thinking, it starts by setting the tone. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. He doesn't give us an option. We talked about this. He says, always, right? It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives. Rejoice means to delight in God. And I've shared this with you, I so want this to be a year of joy for us. And it can't be based on our feelings. It can't be based on our circumstances. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And the trap is that we'll just kind of rush right past this verse, and move on. And reality is, this is really the first thing that we need to do in 2020. If we're going to, is this right here. We got to stop really questioning God and believe in His goodness. that He is a good God, that He is faithful, that He is true, that He is just. Therefore, I will rejoice. We need to set the tone. And when we begin to make a declaration like that, I think of Isaiah when he says, you know, His thoughts are higher than my thoughts, right? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so I'm not going to always understand Him, right? But I'm going to trust Him. He is faithful. Hey, if I could fit God in this brain, He would not be a God that I'd want to serve, right? So I'm not saying we're going to understand everything. But I'm not going to question Him anymore. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to believe in Him. I'm going to trust in His goodness and His faithfulness. And I'm going to declare that goodness of my God and begin to see what happens. I'm going to set the tone in 2020. And when trials come and disappointments come, I'm setting the tone, right? God, I will trust You. You are faithful. I will rejoice always. I am setting the tone. And I love how He says, let Your gentleness be evident. Another translation of that is, let Your reasonableness be evident, Your thinking be evident to God and everyone around you. That God is in control. And so therefore, I will rejoice. That's the goal. You will know when you're setting the tone, when others look at you and they go, oh my goodness, what is going on in you? You have become the most faithful, positive person I know. And you can say, you know, it's because God is on the throne of my life and I'm going to heaven. And, you know, you set the tone right from the beginning as you step into this new year. Set the tone. The second thing that we need to do as we step into 2020 is we need to see the lie. And we just sang about this. We need to see the lie. If we're going to get set free and renew our mind, we must see the lie. Paul says, he says this, do not be anxious about anything. Is that intimidating to anybody? I mean, I've read that 1,000 times. We've preached, you know, don't be anxious about anything. I mean, it's humanly impossible without God to not be anxious about anything. Anxiousness is not from God. And so if we are going to not be anxious about anything, we've got to see what makes us anxious. We've got to do an audit of our thought lives because it begins in our thoughts. And when we take the time and say, okay, you know, where's my faulty thinking? You know, what's going on here? I'm anxious right now, and God's Word says that not to be anxious about anything, so I've got to be able to see the lie that's making me anxious. And when I see the lie, then I can begin to take the next step. I don't know if you realize this, but the enemy only has one weapon in his quiver, and that's a lie. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. His native language is lying. How many of you have a friend, and about half of what they say is not true? How many of you have a friend like that? I think we all do. Come on, you know. Half of what they say is not. You know, my uncle was that way, and I loved him. Everybody loved him. But you just knew half of what he said. Listen, everything that Satan says is a lie. Everything the devil says is untrue. So when he speaks, everything he says is a lie. When he speaks, he has to lie. That's his only weapon. And so if we're going to defeat the enemy and begin to create some new neuro pathways and get healthy in our thought lives, we've got to begin to see the lies. And the lies usually fall in three different categories. It's the way we view ourselves, right? Our identity. We begin to say, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm lesser than. Or it comes at us in our view of God. Right? Growing up, as I said, I always thought God was angry at me and out to get me, right? And I think a lot of us question God and question His motives, and the enemy gets us thinking a lie about our God. And then the third category is the view of others, the way we view others. So it's the way I think about me, the way I think about my God, and the way I view others. The devil loves to create disunity. He will do anything in his power to get you thinking a faulty thought, to get you at odds with others, so you can't accomplish all that God wants you to accomplish here on this earth in this new year. So when we begin to see the lies and once we expose it, you begin to know the truth, right? And the truth will set you free. You see the lie. You see that. You begin to expose that. And I'll be honest with you, I've struggled with all three of these throughout my life. The view of myself, the view of God, the view of others. But you know, God's done an unbelievable work in my life. And when I look back, I am so grateful for all that he has done. As I said, I had faulty thinking growing up. And when I grew, and I still struggle with this, I still have to keep this in check. But as I grew up, I was thinking I wasn't good enough. Right? I just wasn't good enough. So I kept performing. I'm kind of a performer. I have that, you know, in me. And so I would perform in whatever areas, arenas I was in, right? Whether it was school or sports or church or relationships, trying always to get everybody's approval. And when I fail, right? When I would fail, or even when I failed, I would think, and even now, again, I have to be careful. It'll kind of sneak its way in again, those lies of Satan. And I'll say, see, Monty, you're not good enough. You're just not good enough. And it's hard. But when I realize, just what we sang this morning, when I realize what God's Word says about me, it begins to change my thinking. Pretty much, with anything the enemy tells you, anything that he tells you, any lie that you begin to he begins to place in your thought life, if you'll turn 180 degrees, and begin to walk away from that, you'll find God. You'll find God, because the enemy is a liar. And it's really why Kim and I have just loved to share God's truth over our lives, because we know, if you will ever get to a place where you will hold on to God's truth, where you really begin to believe in it and to hide it in your heart and to read it and just memorize it, that if you get to that place, well, then you will find freedom. That freedom will come into your life and whatever you're struggling with. Peace comes. Unity comes. It's part of setting the tone and seeing the lie so that you can do number three. So you can begin to speak the truth. You can begin to speak the truth. Renewed thinking comes through speaking the truth, and the truth is God's Word. It says there, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's what I know. Paul's saying, we gotta pray and petition God. It's almost similar words. We've got to pray and petition Him, and speak His truth, right? To the lies that are in our lives, that are in our mind. Here's what I know. God's Word demolishes the enemy's lies. It's not me versus the devil. That's not what it is. It's God's Word versus the enemy's lies. And the battlefield just happens to be our minds. I love 2 Corinthians 10, where Paul says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. He says in Ephesians 6, to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's how we battle. That's how we fight. John 17:17, Jesus says, sanctify them by the truth, God. Your word is truth. Matthew 4, Jesus, when he's being tempted by Satan, right? Everything that Satan comes at him, Jesus says, no, it is written. And he would speak God's word back to Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written. He would just quote Deuteronomy back to Satan so that he could experience the freedom of those temptations. Listen, there is power. There is power in the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It's a double-edged sword, right? God, one edge is defeating the enemy, while the other edge is like a scalpel in our hearts. And that's why these steps, I think that's why they work, because God's word is so powerful. And so as we step into 2020, let's dare to speak the truth of God's word and watch him do a work within us. It's so interesting to me that Paul says, by prayer and petition. A petition is this right here. A petition is a formal request appealing to a higher authority with anticipation of reversing something of a lower authority. Right? Paul says, if you will pray and petition God, if you'll speak God's word, God's truth, God will show up and kick Satan's deceptions. So let's pray the word of God. And I just encourage you to pray it out loud and allow him to bring his change. Well, you know, God's word says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we want to grow in our faith, we need to begin to hear and speak God's word so that we can do number four, and that's seal the promise. Listen, I wish we could set the tone, that we could see and expose the lies and then pray a truth from God's word and it would be done, right? And sometimes it happens that way, but most of the time it is a process, for me at least, it is a process of working out my attitudes and my appetites, right? And so we have to seal the promise, because most of us, if it doesn't work the first time, we want to give up and try something new. But the key is to seal the promise. It's steps 1, 2, 3, and repeat. Steps 1, 2, 3, and repeat. Steps 1, 2, 3. And repeat. Because listen, there are some strong neural pathways. Some of us have been thinking some faulty thinking for a long time, and it doesn't always go away just like that. But over time, as we set the tone, as we see the lies, and speak the truth of God's word, and seal the promises of God, he will show up and renew our thinking and bring change. He will transform us. But we have to expect some resistance, all right? I mean, Satan's in this battle, so we have to expect some resistance. But God's word is more powerful than anything the devil can throw at us. So we can take comfort in the promises that God is with us. God is with us. I'm so glad that Kim chose to sing, I'm a child of God, that this fear is not going to have control over me, because I struggle with that. I struggle with the fear of the unknown, the fear of the future. And when I get into that place where I'm just struggling with that, God always kind of sends me to 2 Timothy 1:7, where he says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but I've given you a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. And I just have to keep reminding myself. So when that begins to happen in my life, I say, okay, I know that's not from the Lord. So God, I will trust you. I will not fear. I will not be afraid. I will keep stepping out in faith and take courage, because you are with me, God. You are with me. And some of you, maybe you've struggled with shame or guilt over things that you've done or haven't done, and you just allow Satan to beat you up with that shame. And you have to remember that Romans 8 says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? There's no shame that he can't overcome. If you are a follower of him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. And then I love verse 7 in Philippians 4. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. His peace is with me and will accompany me as I keep walking forward in this new year. You know, as I said, we got to spend a week with our kids and our grandkids. And I've shared with you the story. You've walked with us through the story of Hunter and Steph and the loss of their twin girls. And it just kind of reminded me being up there with them and seeing their joy, you know, now, and just their just trust in what God's doing in their lives. But, you know, being there, it just reminded me of that day when the girls had passed away. We were standing in the hospital with Hunter and Steph and all their friends and their church. It was just a powerful showing of God's people, you guys praying so, you know, powerfully for us. And we were standing there, and Hunter said, okay, this is what I want to do before I do anything else. I want Dad and I to go back to the house, and I want us to finish the nursery. And then we'll join you guys, you know, later on. And so he said, Dad, will you do that? And of course I said, yes, I'll do that. You know, but, you know, I'm angry at God at that moment. You know, I'm seeing the hurt in my kid's heart. And so we go back to his house, just me and him, not much talk going on, right? One, we're dudes, and dudes don't talk very much. But, you know, there's times when there doesn't need to be a lot of talk, just needs to be presence. And so we go back to his house, go into the nursery, and they had already covered one wall in the nursery with scripture. They had wallpapered the wall with just scripture passages all over the wall. It's passages that they had been praying over their girls. You know, God will never leave you or forsake you. God, you know, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, I can do all things. Just passage after passage after passage up there on the wall. You know, I'm looking at that and you know, I'm mad, I'm angry, I'm going, you're right, right. And so we finished the room. We had to put a border underneath the scripture wall. And, you know, as we got finished, we stood there together. You know, we don't have very good carpentry skills, so there was some laughing going on in that as we tried to put this pallet wall up below the scripture. But we got it done, and we kind of just stepped back, and we're looking at this wall of scripture. And I just want to share with you that in that moment, in a moment where there shouldn't have been any peace, in a moment where there was unbelievable hurt and a lot of questions, there was a peace there in that room. And I looked at my son and I said, "You okay?" And he said, "I'm okay, Dad. I'm okay." You know, we had the celebration service a day or so after that, a couple days after that, and just to hear my son share those passages of scripture that they were praying over their girls, just to hear him share those with other people in the midst of that celebration service. Listen, there's power in God's Word. There's just power there. It brings a peace that will pass all understanding. Now, come on, we still got questions. We still don't understand. But hey, we are setting the tone in 2020. And I'm asking you to do the same. To step into this new year, this new decade, and say, I'm going to set the tone. Game on. Right? I'm going to rejoice always. I'm going to trust my God and His faithfulness, His goodness. Even when I can't understand Him. Even when I can't feel His presence, I'm going to trust that He's there. Because His Word says that He is. I'm going to set the tone. I'm going to see the lies as Satan tries to lie to me, to say, you know, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, God's not with you, look what happened. I'm going to push him back by speaking the truth of God's Word to him and say, whoa, bro, God's Word says this, that my God will never leave me or forsake me. God says He's got a plan, He's got a purpose for my life. God says He loved me so much that He allowed His Son to die on a cross. Let's back off. I am setting the tone. I see your lies and what they're for. And I'm going to speak the truth to you and seal the promises of my God, His Word in my life, so that He can begin to use me in whatever way He desires, so that I can begin to see more clearly because I got renewed thinking. And I'm going to step into this new year with a renewed mind as God continues to do His transforming work in my lives, in my life. And what will be a result of that is I'll begin to understand and discover His will, His purpose. Romans, Paul says in Romans, it's His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's a purpose, it's a meaning for life that fits me. It's just for me. So will you begin to think and understand that stinking thinking can be demolished by God's word and you can live in freedom. So where has the enemy infiltrated your mind? And what are you coming into in 2020 with right now? What needs to be demolished by God's word? That's why the 21 days of prayer is so important. That's what it does for you as you and I get closer to God and you push away some of the things of the world and allow God to renew your mind in 2020, God will begin His transforming work in your life. He will change you. We'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let's do it. Pray with me, please. With every bit of excitement and passion and spiritual enthusiasm I have, I just want to invite you to join me in right now going before God and letting Him change us into a new people by changing the way we think. Not locked in a closet by a lie, but set free by the truth. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when you declare it over and over and over again, you get to a place where you believe it. Again, Satan is the father of lies, but Jesus is the author of truth. And when you know the truth will set you free. So, Father, today I ask that you inspire some of us, Father, here in this room who are serious about living for you to seek you honestly, openly, transparently. God, empower us to hear from you, to declare your truth in a way that would change our minds. Help us, Father, not to be conformed into this world, but to be transformed, to begin to conform into the image of Jesus, that, God, we would please you with our life in everything and all that we do. Father, help us not just to hear the word, but to do the word. And God, I'm ready for this year to be more God-honoring than ever before. God, I want to take the negative thinking out of me, and I want you to change me. I know that's not pleasing to you, and God, I want my thoughts to honor you. And I pray for these people here in this room, Father, that they would want that as well, that God, we would want to be controlled by your Spirit. That we would bring you our best. So God, give us the words to live by, and we will declare them. God, help us to faithfully pursue you. And God, until you change the way we think, we're going to continue to seek you as you renew our minds. Do that in us, O God. I want my mind to be renewed. And that's my prayer for these people here, Father. So do your transforming work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.